Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Come on.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, come on in. Welcome, it's the Football Ramble. I'm joined by Pete.
Wagwan.
Luke.
All right.
And James or Jim.
What go on?
I'm going to tell you. We've recently had a blistering Manchester derby. I think you'll all agree.
Agreed.
And Michael Owen got the winner, which is the inspiration for the question, what is your favourite Michael Owen moment his career?
I thought you were going to say, what is your favourite 58th minute winner? I'll go Michael. My favourite Michael Owen moment, just to annoy James because he's standing next to me, is when he turned the FA Cup final on its head for Liverpool against Arsenal and scored two. Marcus, you'll pull me up on this because you know your stats. Two in the last 5 minutes, was it, or something like that?
I think it was the 84th and 88th minute.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
He gave Lee Dixon on that winning goal about a 14-yard head start and breezed past him. Jimmo, where were you?
And with his left foot as well.
Yeah, right in the corner.
Yeah,
because
people often say he was very right-footed, but that was a wonderful strike with the left.
Yeah, no, I was in my living room at that point, just going, no. Yeah.
Became your dying room, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Ouch. James or Jim?
There's a lot of Michael Owen moments. Obviously, you know, we've got to think about the England hat-trick he scored against Germany, because that was just such a glorious night. That was so good. That's another one. Actually, you think back to what you were doing on that. It was a mate of mine's birthday, actually. It was just one of those amazing days. Anyway, it was really, really good. And that just went even better. It is.
That's why I did it.
Yeah, they did it on purpose. We set it up, actually. But I'm not going to go for that. I'm going to go for when he signed for Newcastle, because it was never going to work. Yeah. And it didn't.
That's probably Pete's, no?
Yeah, it was a funny moment for us all, really. I liked it when he racked up all those gambling debts.
Actually, I really like that Wayne Rooney owed him about $200,000 at one point. No, can I have that instead?
Yeah, you can, James.
You probably just told him. By the way, you owe me $200,000? What? Well, that card game. All right.
Rooney loses at solitaire.
Pete, what are you going for?
I've gone for this, Marcus.
Get in there. Well done, he's 13. Game, set and match, Owen.
Well done, he's 13.
That's when Michael Owen, famously on the internet, took great pleasure in sticking one past the 13-year-old keeper being coached by Neville Southall.
I believe that actually where took place in the real world.
Where was that? That was on a TV
I think it was on BBC One's Michael Owen's Soccer Skills.
Can we hear it again?
Just hear it again. Oh.
Get in there. Well done, he's 13. Game, set and match, Owen.
Well done, he's 13.
He's so pleased with himself, and the kid looks like a potato goalkeeper. It's brilliant.
I thought for a second there you were going to say it was from BBC One's Michael Owen's a twat.
Seen it. Any good? Can I get it on iPlayer? Marcus, what's yours?
I like the hat-trick. I'm sorry, Peter, but I like the hat-trick against Newcastle.
I'm not turning up next week. This is unacceptable.
Side effect. It was a great hat-trick. Remember, when he just bang, 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 three.
Yeah. It was super. I mean,
and he did that celebration where he kind of rubbed his hands together. I'm doing it now.
Yeah,
can you see that?
Can hear it as well.
Yeah,
I can smell the skin.
Yeah,
really close to it.
Flaking all over.
My hands move.
Want to sort that out?
Is it taking you back?
the goal against Argentina needs a mention.
Can't remember
surely.
It. Yeah,
not been mentioned enough.
Yeah, and we won the World Cup once upon a time.
Yeah,
West Ham won the World Cup.
Yeah, so they did. Yeah. So they did indeed. God bless them. Manchester derby. Magnificent stuff. I like the rivalry now.
Sorry for Sheffield because they had a brilliant derby on Friday and then Manchester ruined it. I was coming in to talk about the Sheffield derby and now no one cares.
Yeah,
but it's good to hear the Manchester derby meaning something again.
Yeah, 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 I was going to say for for anyone outside Manchester or Surrey, really, yeah. it doesn't actually who doesn't really know the mean two clubs. Anything. yeah. So it's good that it's genuinely sort of competitive now, and they're actually going to be fighting yeah. for a sort of yeah. significant place.
And whatever Ferguson says, he's blatantly worried. I mean, he wouldn't yeah. be giving it all the big one if he didn't.
Hughes is really handling him, Ferguson, really well, I think.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he is, because the way Ferguson, before the match, Ferguson was calling them cocky, and he was really not happy with that Tevez poster. Yeah. And Hughes just sort of goes, looks like he's a little bit rattled then.
Yeah.
You know, I think he obviously knows Ferguson very well, and he knows what's going on. And Ferguson, I think, is getting a little bit irked.
Well, I think, obviously, we're going to talk about the game in a second, but one of the things it wasn't great to see was when Javier Garrido got hit with a coin. Yeah,
it was a coin,
was it? Yeah. And he said, I'm not defending it, obviously, but what he said afterwards was that, it's all Manchester United. They've stoked this up.
Ridiculous.
Man City fans, Manchester City as a club have behaved impeccably. What about that poster you put up of Carlos Tevez saying, welcome to Manchester? I think it's a bit rich. I mean, I know that you can't tar 75,000 fans with the same brush, but
yeah,
at the end of last season, they were, sign him up now. He's rubbish.
Well, I think the thing is, it's stuff like that poster campaign. He must have agreed to that. They can't do it without his.
It's an image right, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, I don't know how the image rights.
God knows, he's got a progressive contract anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Maybe it's not as shocking as I first thought. Then. The booing saga.
No, I mean,
you flip flapper.
Because he's gone. Because he's the first player to go directly across between clubs for such a long time. I think it was inevitable, at least from certain sections of the fans. But I mean, as you guys know as well, because you probably saw the game. But he was brilliant in the first half. I mean, I think he tired quite badly. But in the first half, he ripped them to pieces. I mean, he created their first goal. He was all over the place. He put Ben Foster under such immense pressure whenever he could, because he knew that Foster's still relatively inexperienced.
He did have a good game, but the man who you called a poor man's Carlos Tevez, and I said at the start of the season might not play much this season, yeah. Greg Bellamy.
Man of the match.
Had a blinder. Yeah.
Two fantastic finishes. Yeah. I know he had a lot of help from Rio Scupla but what a cracking shot for the first.
And he managed to punch a fan.
Yeah,
but I like to exaggerate.
it was a push slap, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a push slap.
Well, there were like three stewards holding him.
Yeah. He's got no need to
Big man, him. Bellamy.
I like those odds. Off.
Yeah. He's like, you could tell he was thinking to myself, where's my golf club? I haven't got it. I'll wait for the stewards to get hold of him. Accost him.
Where's my neck?
Wasn't Mark Hughes saying, Brian Clough did that and he was a national hero? A little bit different.
Yeah, I think he was already a national hero, to be fair.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're looking at if you look at the backgrounds of the two chaps.
presumably it was a City fan as well, wasn't it? Because he was delighted.
No, it was a United fan. Because I think it was after United scored the fourth.
I thought it was after Bellamy.
No, it was after the winner. It's after the winner, yeah.
I don't remember things.
Just exaggerate.
Yeah. Do you think Ben Foster's going to be for the chop?
Well, I mean, Alex Ferguson seems to regard him as the best English goalkeeper.
I think he's given him confidence.
Really.
Yeah, it was a game littered with mistakes, though, wasn't it? Which is good.
Which is great. It's a good derby.
But Foster's looked a bit shaky so far. I'm not saying, therefore write him off. He's a good young keeper, clearly. Yeah. He's just a little bit of confidence. You know?
I think
he's made some very good saves as well.
He does.
One against Arsenal a couple of weeks ago.
Well, when he was at Watford, he was making saves all over the place. But I think
it's part of his job, really.
True. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
A couple of points are like
big part of his job.
Pete's point about Ferguson, I think he's given him a bit of confidence. He's obviously saying ahead of a big season for him. His first, probably with Van der Sar's injury problems and his age, it's probably his first full season, maybe even his first choice keeper. So he needs a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
But the second thing that annoys me about Foster a little bit is everyone says, he's such a great shot stopper. As far as I'm concerned, I know great shot stoppers who I've played in teams with before. You don't get to that level without being a good shot stopper. It's a prerequisite.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the very top level, it's about concentration, how you command your area, and how you organise your defence. At the moment, he doesn't seem
positioning, aerial.
I can't remember who said it, but you know, being a goalkeeper for Watford is very different to being a goalkeeper for Manchester United. And the shot stopper business, well, you're going to get to stop shots all day long when you're playing for Watford.
Luke raises an interesting point as well about sort of organising the defence, right? But if you're a young goalkeeper and you've got like Rio Ferdinand, players like that
in front of you, Vidic,
like just actually sort of commanding them, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be intimidating.
No, you're absolutely. It's a
Marcus,
good point to make.
Do you also think that with Watford, like you say, he's not got a second to rest at Watford when they were getting hammered every
week? That's right. Yeah.
At Man United, he's probably going to make one or two saves a game and he's got to be bang on every time.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, when he's playing for Watford and they're bottom of the Premier League, you know, if he does make a mistake, it's not that glaring, is it? And he'll have another chance to redeem himself. Another shot will come along. When he makes a mistake for United, it's for all to see.
Yeah.
And that might be the only thing he does in the game.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing for once, you know, a club who were relegated from the Premiership to the side with the champions, vastly different. You've got 75,000 people watching you.
And you do not want that tag as a mistake-prone goalkeeper. I mean, look at Scott Carson now.
Or Taibbi. Right.
Well, on the Football Weekly, I think it was, they said that Taibbi played 4 games for United, and his first 2 games, he was man of the match.
Yeah. Massimo Taibbi isn't a bad goalkeeper. I think the way it works is you make a mistake of that magnitude and that level of game. It's the same, and also you've got a factor in with Foster, you've got a factor in the Champions League as well. You know, if he's not fully confident and he's playing against Barcelona in the Champions League, you get ripped to pieces. You know, it's not the same.
Never mind the Champions League. We've got England versus Brazil in November.
Well, exactly.
Qatar.
I mean, it might be controversial, but I still think Robert Green's the best keeper.
I'd probably go along with that, yeah.
Does this mean we're playing Qatar in a friendly in Qatar? Because have you seen the state of their national team? They've just paid loads of Brazilians to come over and just nationalise.
That could be interesting. Luke, you wanted to talk about Jack Wilshere.
I think the incident
the other night.
I think it should be mentioned because, you know, isn't Jimbo going to help me out here? His nickname
help
is The Future,
Jimbo.
Isn't it?
I've not heard that.
For Jack
I
the
like
Future
that.
Wilshere. I think his name is. Given, I think, I assume by Arsenal fans, I mean, obviously not yourself, James, but he doesn't need to be getting into what he got into this
Absolutely
week in the Carling
not.
Cup. Listen, Arsenal have rightly or wrongly got a little bit of a reputation for this, and Wilshere doesn't need to be involved in that sort of thing. Yeah. It was unnecessary.
What happened?
And I'm obviously talking about his sort of... I want to be tread a little bit carefully here. His alleged play acting, which contributed to getting a player sent off in the Carling Cup against Wigan.
Apparently, he goaded Jerome Thomas.
Yeah, did he not shake his hand or something? He refused to shake his hand.
Silly. I mean, if I was going to be a little bit undiplomatic, and it's not something I'm known for, as you know, he was being a little shit, basically. And he's 17 years old. He's got the world ahead of him. And, you know, as an experienced football man myself, you know, a little bit old, you know, celebrating my 29th birthday this week. So, you know, I've been around a little bit, Jack. It's an open message to you, pal. Don't get involved. Let your football do the talking. Yeah? That's it. We can move on.
I just like Wenger's insistence that my eyes aren't very good and my ears are even worse.
He's been zinging all over the shop, right? You know, did you see the thing he said about Adebayo as well? He said, like, if you ask 100 people, 99% will say it's bad and the other person will be Mark Hughes.
Oh, he loves it. A bit rich coming from him, though.
He's got a writer, I think.
Yeah. He's got a gag man. Is it you, Pete?
Arsenal just seem incapable of just having a normal game lately. Mm. Even the game against Wigan, like, there was that ridiculous Emmanuel Aboué handball.
Do you know what they need? They need... they need someone solid at the back, and Sol Campbell's available. Now, do you think he'll go back there?
Linktastic. That was super.
Thank you very much.
What is he doing? I need to steal James Campbell line. He emailed me today, James Campbell, and it said, something has broken his mind. It really has.
We're recording this on the Wednesday night. The Ramble's going to come out tonight, hopefully, if I get my editing fingers around it. This is the most topical news story I think we've ever dealt with.
Or we ever will deal with.
Campbell leaving Notts County.
Italy have won the latest World Cup, apparently.
As I understand it, and it, as Pete said, it's breaking news, it's a bit early on, but as I understand it, he went to training as normal and acted completely normally and then just went and got his boots and started shaking hands and saying goodbye to everyone and then just left.
No, not before having the yearly annual picture.
That's what
yearly means, actually.
It's like he's just made this decision just... on a sort of just completely he's made his mind up in 1 second, thought, actually no, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, would you remember when he went mental against West Ham when he was playing for Arsenal, went home at half time and there were all these reports the next day saying, oh, he wants to become an actor.
Where's that come from?
His publicist must be like, oh, what's he done now?
Where's that come from?
Not writing his biography, he's on his toes.
I've heard horrific rumours, and they are only rumours, that Redknapp's going to do a job and get him in. I mean, all joking aside, Spurs have got no centre halves now. They're all injured. All of them. All four of them are injured.
But I don't think he'd go back.
I don't think it could happen. No.
Isn't it the case, though, that he can't move till January unless he can prove that it's for sporting reasons?
I guess he's probably got a case plan for Notts County.
But I don't know what's going through his mind, because even if he doesn't want to play for him anymore. Yeah, exactly.
But one of the guys at Notts County said, I think he's got an eye on the World Cup.
Well, we all have.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We're all making plans.
That token.
Yeah. But Marcus, do you not think that even if he doesn't want to play anymore, I mean, he's made his debut away to Morecambe. It's a bit of a come down. But yeah. No disrespect to them, but you know what I'm
great
saying.
Great bicycle kick from Casper Smiley.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fantastic, you.
But even if he doesn't want to play anymore, surely he can say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got this contract. I can maybe do a bit of coaching, get it amended slightly, become a coach, do my UEFA badges or whatever. You just signed a 5-year contract worth apparently about 40 grand a week about 3 months ago.
Yeah, but he clearly wants to keep playing. And I think he's looked at it. And when they've said League Two, he's thinking, old Division Two, one below what I'm playing now.
He's stuck in the past. He's not
exactly.
Like Wiltshire.
They call Sol Campbell the past. But not at Notts County.
He's like Doc Brown, and Wiltshire's like Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Ooh. The future and the past.
Yeah.
Good, I like that. He's going to play in the Wild West, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's got himself a part in goal 3, right? Which is just set in the lower leagues. Just doing a bit of research.
Yeah. If he is like Marty McFly, then check if he's got a sports almanac. That'll give it away.
Peter Kenyon's got a sports almanac, I reckon. He's gone.
Yeah, he has,
They can't sign anyone, he's gone.
You're so good, you did a link, you didn't even realise it.
He's linking all over the place, like arson.
Kenyon, are we sad to see him go?
He's going to go to Man City, isn't he?
Yeah,
imagine
clearly.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
Imagine he popped out up at Man City with a new face.
Someone else's.
Cook out, Kenyon in.
All that hair that you sent him, Jim.
Yeah.
What about a Gary... turn up with your wig on?
What about a Gary Cook, Peter Kenyon dream team at the helm of City?
There's talk that Kenyon's going to have a role just within football at the FA or something like that, which is terrifying news
Please
for everybody.
Please don't be true.
Juggling the balls.
Please don't be true.
It's interesting that now Chelsea can't sign anyone, and also there's all these laws coming in that football's going to be completely different in about 4 or 5 years, that he's jumping ship, Sol Campbell's for. Oh my God, County are just going to be normal. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, I can't handle that.
Yeah. It's interesting all the thing Platini's put in place. Is it 2012? Yeah. You're only going to be able to spend what you make as your net profit. So Notts County aren't going to...
In a move that's not at all going to make the rich teams richer, bigger, and the poor teams rubbish.
Well, it's just going to kind of go back to how it was, isn't it? Because before Chelsea came along and all this sort of malarkey, everyone used to say that Man United bought the title just purely because they were the club with the most money, and that's not going to change. It's going to be
and the most sort of biggest brand.
Yeah, it's going to be the big brand clubs, isn't it, with the big stadiums, with big support that buy their shirts.
Pompey are absolutely screwed. They are screwed. Really? Net profit, minus £80 million. Does that mean you take players from us? Is that how it works?
The weird thing is...
The FA repo man's going to come around.
Because Chelsea got this transfer ban, obviously they're not going to spend any money on players, and it's going to help them in a weird way. Because their net profit... Like they're sort of their debt's going to go down.
I think Portsmouth are actually going to sell their nets as profit.
I love it.
It's the only thing left. You can't. It's all we've got left.
At least they can hit it. They can shoot just wide and then run away with their arms in the air.
Oh, there's a fisherman in the harbour. He needs them. Rock bottom. That is rock bottom.
Nugent is nets. I love him.
Yeah.
Oh, what about David Nugent?
What a goal.
Yeah.
Two goals.
Belted,
two.
And is it fair to say, and I've obviously got a slightly skewed opinion of David Nugent, they were goals of genuine ability.
Yeah, they were. The second one in particular when he put it in the top corner.
I think we've as a nation of football fans, I think we've forgotten that David Nugent's actually a good player.
Well, he is a good player.
I mean, there's all sorts of teams after him, and Pompey treated him appallingly badly.
One cap, one goal.
Exactly. And you can't argue with that, Marcus.
Well, you could if you remember the goal.
Yeah, Jermaine Defoe would certainly argue with that. If he scores a replica of that goal in the World Cup final, that would be brilliant. Oh, yeah. But the thing with Nugent is...
He's not going to the World Cup.
The more serious...
Or is he?
The more serious...
Don't have time to talk about that now.
Well, thanks.
But go on, talk about the more serious point.
Thanks. He's linking so much, he's actually linking over the content. What I was going to say was, what are Portsmouth doing? Right, David Nugent is... They don't want to play him.
He just needs to know.
If anyone knows, write in.
Yeah, don't loan him to a relegation rival. Oh, yeah, but he can't play against us. Yeah, but he can play against every other team and score. You know, Pompey must be the only team in the history of professional football we've thought, right, who are going to be our relegation rivals this season? Burnley. Should we give them one of our strikers for nothing?
I just think Newcastle got relegated and thought, we can be the big joke of the Premier League.
There's a vacancy.
Yeah. All the best Shakespeare players needed a puck.
That's true.
Do you remember when, I think it was... When Newcastle actually loaned Lemanu Loaloa, I think it was too Pompey, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
But they forgot to put a clause in that he couldn't play against them, and he scored against them.
Robbie Robson went mental, didn't he? The thing is, Loaloa only scored for about 4 goals for Newcastle, and he scored quite a lot with Pompey. He was all right.
Speaking of to Bobby Robson. Did you see the memorial service?
I did.
Gazza looked great, didn't he?
He did look healthy. He looked well. Yeah.
No, he goes through cycles. That's what's so frustrating about him. As a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, I kind of
that's Gazza, not Pete.
Yeah, talking as I am. it's difficult though, isn't it? Because he could very easily relapse. I hope that he doesn't, and I think we all hope that he doesn't.
Yeah,
but
course,
it's so difficult because he's done it before.
Yeah, I think he really has come to the end of the line now. To be honest, and he did look well, he'd look healthy, but I mean, it's not as though he, you know, performed 50 keepy ups at the ceremony or anything like that.
Given half a chance, he would have.
He was just sitting there.
I wish he'd stop bleaching his hair because I just think he looks a bit too fancy.
He looks
like a fancy
dad. He just looks odd. Because he's going bald anyway.
Yeah.
It makes it worse.
Do you think? I quite like it.
Michael Stipe about him.
I
think it's all right. It covers the baldness.
But Gary Lineker's usually was very nice, very touching. He welled up. Yeah. The thing about Bobby Robson is he was such a great man that it was...
Well, we did a profile.
Exactly. It was only ever going to be a touching and sort of interesting and enthralling service. And
he could have been your postman and you would have loved him.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It was good to see John walk. In 2009, it was lovely. Look at him.
What's he doing now? John Walk. He was an escape to victory.
Yeah, he busted out of that Nazi.
Couldn't understand what he was saying.
No, exactly.
So was Sylvester Stallone, look what he went on to do.
Yeah, exactly. World's your oyster, John, is the message.
We like talking about Diego Maradona on this show, and he seems to write half of it usually, and this week is no exception, because Italian police have taken some of his earrings. This is in an effort to try and recover unpaid taxes from his playing days at Napoli.
Can I say drop in the ocean?
it should be said that his earrings are worth roughly €4,000, which is a drop in the ocean because he faces a tax bill of €37 million.
How do you do that then?
That's no...
With great difficulty.
That is no small amount for a pair of earrings.
He's worked...
Said.
Yeah, but that €37 million, he's really worked at that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is incredible.
That's an aptitude for tax avoidance.
Well, he was at Napoli from the sort of mid 80s to the early 90s, very early 90s. He's clearly not paid any tax and it's just built up and oh my goodness.
But 37 million, so presumably that's a quarter of what he was earning?
No, it must.
No, not. I don't know.
Pete, that is vastly more. Many, many times more than he ever could have earned in that period.
So how does that work?
Because he's not paid. It's interest.
Yeah. Just say, oh right, I think oh god.
But you got to remember. This is Italian tax, so it might not be that much. But just double it and add 30.
Allegedly,
I just picked a number out of the air. But I think they're going to have to go for a lot of pairs of earrings. I mean, I don't know how many pairs of earrings he's got.
Well,
why have they just picked earrings?
But you say that. But 3 years ago, they took two Rolex watches, and they were worth.
Are they just taking jewellery?
Are they making this up?
They were worth €10,000, roughly. Well, the reason why they're doing it is because I think basically he's clearly made his point that he's not going to pay this tax anytime soon. So the tax police they're acting on an order, which is just to authorise anything of value within plain sight.
What about that ring he's got around his stomach?
Oh.
Well, they maybe don't know about that.
Gold plated.
You could maybe give him. You could be his gold plated.
You take that off, and he becomes as big as a planet, and he just like floats off into the ether. And they're going, he's going tax this.
You should give the dog its face back.
Yeah. Well, he won't be on his way to South Africa the way he's going on, will he?
Well, I think he's gone to Italy because he's gone to a weight loss clinic, hasn't he? Mm.
Yeah. Again,
it's all coming crashing down around his ears.
There's not an ounce of normality that ever surrounds this man.
No.
How is he allowed to enter Italy when he owes £37 million?
Because they want their money.
They want his earrings.
in revenue. Is he allowed to leave?
Because he just slips them a €10.
How does he snake out
he's
the country?
He's got to work
how
it
big
off.
He is.
It's not that they have to wash dishes when you can't pay a restaurant bill.
Bearing in mind this is Maradona, he probably uses a jetpack to escape. Nothing is normal about this man.
There is no jetpack. Big enough anywhere.
He could wear Italy like a boot.
Oh dear. Pele though.
Is he weighing in? Not on the tax issue.
No.
Is he weighing in? I would pay it.
Would you pay it, Pele? Yeah, I would.
That's what Pete said, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I would.
Why is your Pele Swedish?
I would.
I don't think that's too bad.
Ohio Gazimus. Ohio would.
No, Pele responded, because Maradona, I think it was about a month ago, was saying that Pele, was he that good? He only played for South American clubs. So Pele said, well, Maradona was great, but the best ever was Alfredo Di Stefano. Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Marcus, you've often mentioned that in the past. I think it's all credit to you.
Pele said that Maradona could not kick with his right foot and did not score with his head. The only time he scored an important goal with his head, he used his hand.
Oh, you betch. Ooh. Ooh. You betch.
They had another little spat a little while ago.
On Twitter, with Perez Hilton.
No, they had another little spat a little while ago where Pele had said that Maradona wasn't a good role model because he takes drugs and things like that. And Maradona responded in a press conference by saying that Pele had lost his virginity to a man. And because of the translation, the translation of what he said actually literally translates as he debuted with a lad. Maybe that's just awesome. One of Maradona's weird little sayings that he's got.
Yeah, I think that you know, it's all a little bit silly. I mean, it's all subjective anyway. I mean, if you went to Brazil and asked who their favourite of all time, it'd undoubtedly be Garrincha, wouldn't it? They love him. They've taken him to their hearts massively compared to Pele.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's such a subjective thing. And in a way, I mean, I know we love it and we all joke about it, but it's a little bit demeaning. You know, two of the greatest players for all time. Just leave it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I like it. I get involved. Get involved, I think.
It was a slow week. What are they doing? Oh,
And anyway, Pele played in Nazzle.
Nazzle.
He didn't just play in Brazil, he played in America as well.
Yeah, it's very true.
A bastion of footballing purity.
Get in there! Well done, he's 13. Game, set and match, Owen.
That is email, surely.
I think it is. It is emails. It is emails. It is.
Can we use
emails.
That? Can we keep that as a jingle? I think it should be in every show.
Well,
it's up to Marcus.
Yes, get in there. Oh, Betty.
He thinks he's well, done a whoopsie.
Well done, he's Frank Spencer.
Jimbo, like that one.
Pete, if you can drag yourself away from your own show, why not read an email?
Why don't you? Carlo Longino. Or Longino, would you say?
I think you were right the third time.
Old CeeLo says, Rabble Fars, ho! The discussion of the best call celebration come crowd wind-ups on the latest podcast brought to mind a not wholly related but similar incident I saw several years back. I attended the University of Texas and its sports teams are known as the Longhorns. So the mascot is, of course, a large long-haul bull named Beaver.
Beaver.
We were playing the University of Nebraska in a conference championship American football game in 1999, and we were getting the crap kicked out of us. Ooh. The only bright spot came just before the start of the second half when Beaver's minders were walking him across one of the end zones, and Beaver took an almighty enormous dump on the Nebraska that had been printed there on the field.
Well, that actually happened. Not metaphorically, took a shit on it.
No, actually did a poop. It got the loudest cheer of the day from the Texas fans and cued all sorts of righteous indignation from the Nebraska people. I don't know what form that would take. Can you imagine, like,
righteous indignation? Your defecation of our state.
Just doing a touchdown and the ball just sticking in it.
Blokes run into the end zone going, oi, watch that. Mind that.
They still lost. Cheers, Carlo from Vegas.
Well, good email. Email from Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
That is amazing.
Been there, haven't I?
Jimbo, you were really keen to find out the furthest flung listener, weren't you? So that's not a good start. A bad start.
That's a good link.
We've had emails from Australia.
Yeah, but we've had them from all over the world. We want to find out where our most obscure country listener is.
Yeah.
That's some good grammar, that is, isn't it?
We had an email from Jordan.
We had an email
as
from
in
Jordan,
the Jordan,
yeah, so you've got to compete with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wherever you are, if you're living in Burkina Faso or Dr. Congo, anywhere like that.
We've also had one from Norfolk.
Well, have we, though?
I don't know.
You checked that?
No.
Okay, well, James, you can go next.
All right.
Oh, no, I'm going to do it. Luke, go on.
Murked.
Flip-flopping around. I know where I am. I'm standing up. I haven't got a chair this week. God, I'm all
We're
over
in
the
Norfolk.
Place. Give me a biscuit.
You've had two.
Right. This is from Manuel Andrade.
Yes.
Ramble Force.
Ramble Force. Oh?
You made me laugh.
Ramble Force, who?
It's like a Canadian Ramble Force.
I don't like sharing a mic, it makes it hard. Ramble Force.
Next one.
Thank you very much. it's going to run and run that, isn't it? Brilliant. Hi, guys. I have a 5-year-old son, Rafi, and I like to make him repeat some of my favourite lines from TVs and movies, etc. Why? Because things always sound funnier when said by a 5-year-old. So, we were out at the deli, and the lady behind the counter was quite taken with my son, Raffy. He's awfully cute, I must say. So the lady offers him a piece of cheese, and she says, "What's your name, darling?" And without even a moment's hesitation, Raffy takes the cheese and says, "Yo, what's poppin'? I'm Ron Ricketts." I almost died laughing at him. God, I love that kid, Manuel Andrade. That is superb. And if ever an opening comes up to present on this show, your son is a shoo-in.
Oh, so, can we get a recording of that?
If you want to send us an ident of your son, that will be amazing.
Yo,
we had Rowan Ricketts, in case people forget, we had Rowan Ricketts, who plays in America or Canada?
He plays for Toronto.
He's come back now, I think, doesn't he?
He came over for it. He didn't get a club, did he? I don't think he's got a club at the moment, but he was at Toronto. Mm.
Okay, and
he's 50 Cent's favourite footballer, oddly.
Yeah, but he's from England, and he started the show by saying, "Yo, what's poppin', I'm Ryan Ricketts."
Yeah.
So that's that.
Well done, Raffy, and well done, Manuel.
Well done. James, do you have an email?
I do have an email.
Oh, read it.
This one's from Simon Lai, L-A-I.
Don't believe you.
"Hi, Ramblers. After hearing your piece a while back on the reasons behind players getting booked for taking their shirts off, I thought I'd run an experiment. Just to explain what this is, we actually emailed Jeff Winter," which you can do, and he replied. It's weird, right? "To find out
it's not
why..."
Like, what attention, is it?
No. "We wanted to find out why players get booked if they take their shirts off. And the actual official FIFA directive is that it's some countries find bare flesh offensive, and so for that reason, it's like a worldwide rule. So, on with the email. Given that it is offensive to viewers in some foreign countries, I decided to see what would happen." That's basically what I've just said, isn't it? "If I did it for my Saturday team..." So he's done this for his Saturday team. "Not even Jeff Stelling has heard of us, so you can rest assured that we aren't being broadcast in the outer reaches of the Nation of Islam. The plan had to be delayed until this point because I haven't exactly started the season in sparkling goal-scoring form. But following a splendid chip from 20 yards, and what a way to open your account, my moment arrived. I removed my shirt and threw it to the ground triumphantly, only to be booked. I could barely utter the words 'FIFA directive' before being shown a yellow card, and the ref seemed uninterested by the rationale that I offered. The most interesting thing about it was that I decided to test if it was only punished when celebrating. So midway through the first half, I took my shirt off for no reason in full view of the ref, who looked bemused and jogged off without a word. To conclude, this highlights what a stupid rule it is, as well as refereeing inconsistency in the 14th tier of English football. This needs addressing, Mr. Hackett. Thank you, Simon. Great email."
I was going to say like a generic pundit thing about inconsistency there, but the guy, he actually said it himself. It's an interesting one. I mean, I'd love to see a Premier League player do that. Yes. Just to see what would happen. It's a silly rule. I mean, the other...
Did Samori Kits behind it?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that was a celebration.
But you know the old leaving the field of play, and that can cause injury in the crowd. We all know that. That's a bookable offence, and that seems fair enough. But the shirt thing off is weird. What's also weird about it is why players carry on doing it.
Yeah.
All the time.
I know what's going to happen.
I know you get caught up in the emotion or whatever, but I mean, you know what's happening. But it's not... And
if
even
I'm emotional, I don't take my shirt off.
Exactly. I mean, it's not because they're emotional, because they've always got messages underneath their shirt. So it's already premeditated.
Which was the Arsenal player whose shirt got torn off him
Thomas
the weekend?
It
just fell to bits. Perished.
I have an email, gentlemen.
Go on, then.
From Stephen. "Hey, Ramblers.
Hello.
Last night, me and a few mates hit Bournemouth for a big night of drinking, possibly a binge, but
a bitter banter.
Around halfway through the night, the majority of us were drunk. We were in the queue for the final club of the night. It was a massive queue. I'm not sure what prompted the next conversation, but we suddenly started talking about your podcast and began chanting, 'Ramble Fools Ho!' Continuing the chant, we started to get louder and louder, no doubt annoying everyone else around us.
I doubt that.
Until a very, very...
bloody loved it.
Very big bouncer approached us. He asked if we were fans of the Football Ramble. We informed him that we were, and then amazingly he smiled and sent us to the front of the queue, and we marched straight into the club.
That was amazing. It's like being the Mafia.
It's like an adult Blue Peter badge.
But with no... Less of the adult.
But with no benefit to the people who make it.
And so me and the boys would like to give our thanks to the Ramblers for aiding our night of drinking and hoeing.
Thank the bouncer, don't thank
P.S. many
when
thanks
they say
to...
hoeing?
Well, you know what he means. P.S. many thanks to the very big bouncer, if he's listening. Well, imagine he would be.
Get in touch if you are.
Seems to be a fan.
Yeah. That's superb, isn't it?
Brilliant.
The Ramble...
Influencing nights out in Bournemouth.
The long arm...
I can retire, finally.
The long arm of the Ramble. That's something else to tick off a list, isn't it?
Exactly. I like Bournemouth. They've got palm trees.
And a bloody good university.
Yeah. I'll refute that.
This reminds me of... obviously last week we were talking about how sort of self-congratulatory and backslapping the email section.
Let it continue.
A lot of emails like that. A friend of mine sort of brought this up as well when I saw him, and he actually had a situation where he was listening to the ramble, right, and his girlfriend came into the room out of the shower, jumped him, and he had sex to us inducting Eusebio into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
That is poetry. That is poetry.
Oh, who won the sperm race that day?
Mr. Paul Duncan McGarrity.
After the summer
did.
Loves his name.
I prefer it to be Eusebio than like Dion Dublin or something. Or Dean Windass, yeah.
The things my voice can do.
You're like Barry White. You're like Barry White of the sporting world.
So, who's the Championship manager goodie bag going to go to, boys?
Who?
Don't ask me. It's Marcus's decision. He's the boss.
It pays to call to be the boss. I think Simon Lay.
Or Lai, yeah. The guy who took his shirt off.
That's right. No Simon, reason. Championship manager bag, on Championship one. Manager goodie bag, or rather, is on its way to you.
Good work.
Well done.
There's a T-shirt in there as well, so put it on, then take it off, then put it back on again.
Kiss your badge for the funny stories.
Good one.
Ta very much.
Do you want me to go first?
I would love that.
Okay. This one's about my favourite person. Fernando
me?
Torres.
Oh.
No, you're not even top five.
Cheer up.
Fernando Torres has an autobiography coming out entitled El Nino, Ooh. My Story. The Daily Mirror was looking at the book and it gave, like, it got like an early look at it and it detailed some of its, like, transcribed a bit of it and had some stories on it. And so this is this is what I had to say. It says, he's talking about when he moved from Madrid over to Liverpool, Atletico, obviously, and he was talking about learning English for the first time. And his English is actually quite good now, so this might be why. He says, two people were vital during my first few days in the city, Rob and Alan, the English teachers Liverpool laid on for me. One of the things they used to make me do was ring people in response to adverts in the paper. You'd get on the phone and ask about a puppy for sale, or a kitten being advertised, or the price of a second-hand car. The idea was to get me used to speaking English on the phone, but at first the idea terrified me so much that I would panic and I didn't understand and find myself having to ring Pepe Reina instead.
I really hope he wanted a puppy, a kitten and a second can car and was just hoping Pepe Reina would have some lying around.
I'd bloody love him to ring me.
Yeah,
if I was saying like a car or something, oh, it's Fernando Torres, brilliant. You can have a discount.
You want my dog?
And he finishes by saying, some nights I even dared to pick up the phone and order food. When it turned up, it was nearly always what I wanted.
Nearly
good
nearly
to hear you're not going hungry, Fernando.
Pete, you've got one.
Yes, I have, Marcus. Stuttgart's former Germany goalkeeper, Jens Lehmann.
Yay!
Yes!
Matt
Jens! No! He's been dropped from the first team squad for paying a visit to Oktoberfest at the weekend. The 39-year-old was spotted at Munich's beer festival only hours after his side had been beaten by Cologne by 2-0 in the Bundesliga and had not been given permission to attend. Well, like, why would they give him explicit permission?
I think he didn't ask because he knew they wouldn't let him. So,
who's the manager? I'm pretty sure the manager is Matthias Sammer, isn't it?
No,
it's Babel.
Marcus Babel. Sorry,
Marcus Babel. Well, he actually said that the director of sport Horst Held and Marcus Babel will talk with Jens about this on Thursday, and then we will see where to go.
I don't imagine Jens Lehmann respects a manager who's younger than him.
Yeah, actually, we had someone email in about this. A guy called Michael Coles, if I remember rightly, and that is an interesting point, isn't
good
it?
Stuff.
Well done, James.
It is an interesting point, though. If your manager's younger than you and you're Jens Lehmann, it's always going to be interesting.
Two mentals. Don't make her right, does it? I
mean, never.
Lehmann apologised for breaking club rules and accepted the suspension, but claimed his motives were good. The visit to Oktoberfest was part of a charity event, he said, and it had been planned for a long time. However, it was not agreed with the club. Of course, I accept the measures taken by the sporting management. Lehmann committed an error to gift Cologne their second goal at the weekend when he raced out of his area only to lose possession and allow Wilfried Sanu to shoot into an empty net from 45 yards out.
Can you imagine this is quite a convenient suspension.
Can you imagine playing five-a-side with Jens Lehmann?
Did he then, like, take
bearing in mind, in five-a-side, the keeper can't come out of his box.
Yeah.
How many free kicks would he give
penalties?
Away? Yeah, well, yeah.
Jens Lehmann is out of his box all the time.
Yeah. Is it in my head?
Stick him in defence and have done with
it. Did he then, like, grab the guy's boot, take it off, chuck it on the roof of the net, fly off in this helicopter to Oktoberfest?
Yeah. James or Jim has a funny story.
I do. I've got one from the vault. This is a great one. Right, okay. Zlatan Ibrahimovic once almost faced 6 months in jail for impersonating a policeman in Malmo's red light district.
Oh, you can't do that.
I meant no harm, but it was a very stupid thing to do, he admitted. The misdemeanour occurred at 2 a.m. in the morning as he cruised around the red light area with a friend. The pair pulled up near a prostitute who was speaking to a suspected punter through his car window. Prostitution is legal in Sweden, but paying for sex is illegal. I always thought they were pretty much the same. Weird. And Ibrahimovic allegedly apprehended the 57-year-old man shouting, "This is the police! This is the police! Remain where you are!" The accosted man... The accosted man said...
Why is he doing this?
Christ knows.
It's like the vigilante. To be done
with. Yeah. So, the accosted man said, "One of the guys stepped out of the car and ran up to me. I realised that they were not real policemen, so I was frightened and started my car to escape. They tried to use their car to force me to stop. I picked up my mobile phone to call the police, and when they saw me using the phone, they tried to slip away. Instead, I started to chase them." Police caught Ibrahimovic and his companion in a nearby street, asked them to identify themselves, then let the pair go. Footballers can do what they want, can't they? It also emerged later that the man they tried to apprehend was not a curb crawler, but a local church man known as the Protector of the Down and Outs. I was talking to the girl in the street just to ask her if I could help her by driving her home, he explained.
Worse and worse. Can you imagine?
Zebra.
It's like some sort of Benny Hill thing where they chase and then at the end he finds out the guy was actually like a local church man. Oh god, I bet he feels really bad afterwards.
And it was David Pleat.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
He was only looking. It was window prostitution.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You see what? I think this is a lesson to any football club. You see what happens when you don't allow people to go to Oktoberfest.
Exactly.
They just do things on their own.
I like to think when David Pleat went curb crawling, he actually opened up, started off with, "Good evening, everyone." Like he does with these commentators.
Did he
gallop
in?
I would like to pay
it
for some sacks.
Some what?
Some sacks.
What? This is my punis. Strike my punis.
It's funny because he pronounces everything wrong.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Woo!
And thank you. And today's profile is on Stephen George Bull.
Ooh.
Steve Bull.
You can't beat a bit of bully.
MBE, the local hero that is. He was born on the 28th of March, 1965.
Two and a bit years
before the Summer of Love in Tipton in Staffordshire.
He's won that sperm race and he's won the Midlands heat of the sperm race.
It's a tough
when
heat. Would the final be?
It's a fair question that doesn't need answering. He started in 1981. He joined a non-league at Tipton Town, and this was at a time when he had to work in a number of factory jobs in addition to playing local league games, but the professional stuff started with West Bromwich Albion, and he made his senior debut in 1985, replacing Garth Crooks.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah. He didn't play too many times for West Brom, only about four appearances, scoring two goals. But in 1986, he was sold to local rivals, Wolverhampton Wanderers, along with Andy Thompson, for £65,000, where he remained until the end of his professional career in 1999.
Bargain.
Yeah. Jinx.
13 years he was at Wolves. He broke four of the club's goal scoring records. He became their all-time leading scorer with 306 goals. That was in about 545 games. 250 of those goals were in the Football League, which is also a club record. He became their highest goal scorer in a single season, where he scored 52 competitive goals.
52!
In competitive games during the 87-88 season. And he's also scored a club record of 18 hat-tricks.
That is superb.
Who hasn't?
Everyone else.
But, I mean, let's just take it right back. His debut for Wolves, they were in the old Division 4.
Yeah, I remember.
Against Wrexham in 1986. The old Division 4. 4 years later, he'd be playing in a World Cup.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely. And he's regarded as such a legend at the club. And that word is grossly overused, I think we've said before, but he really is a Wolves legend. One of the stands at the home ground in the Molyneux where Wolves play, he's named after him.
I think that's probably the pinnacle as a player. I mean, having a stand named after you or something of that ilk, is, or a statue. We love statues here, don't we?
But he's got a stand.
That's not bad. Would you rather have a statue or a stand?
I'd like a statue in the shape of a stand. It'd be really confusing. It'd be like a scale model.
Or a
I'd
stand like, in the shape of a statue. So you like had to perch on it to watch a game.
I'd like a stand full of statues of me.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I don't think we can top that, James. Or can we? Just 52 goals in the 87-88 season.
Guy Whittingham, sorry, cut in, once scored 46 in the season for Pompey. And I never thought that I'd ever hear that.
How big a professional goal is.
Yeah,
it's true.
Easy.
Especially in them days.
Start Pete on the goalkeepers.
They're the women goalkeepers at the time, Pete. So Wolves won the fourth division championship, of course, and they became the first of only three teams to have been champions of all four divisions in the English league. Steve Bulley became the first player to score 50 league and cup goals in an English season since Peterborough's Terry Bligh almost 30 years earlier.
I've never heard of that. I couldn't name you another player who's ever done that.
Yeah, well, the following season he scored four hat-tricks and four goal hauls, in a game. And again, Wolves, they won the third division title. The last time any player had scored 50 goals in two consecutive seasons was Middlesbrough's George Camsell in the mid-1920s.
And like we always say, it wasn't about defending then. I mean, the goals were banging all over the place back then. So,
well, we're talking about the late 80s.
Yeah, I'm,
very,
I know,
recent.
Yeah.
Footballing history here. While he was playing in the third division, he was selected for the England team.
Third division. That really is incredible.
There's hope for you yet, Sol. I urge you to reconsider.
Yeah. Well, and he scored on his debut against Scotland at Hampden Park.
Perfect. Well, you can't get better than that.
Unbelievable stuff. And he continued to perform very well. Wolves got to the second tier. It would have been sort of the old Division 2 and then Division 1 and then the
Championship.
Well, I don't think you ever played in the Championship, but he continued to play for Wolves and he stayed very local to Wolves. I mean, there was interest from loads of clubs, people like Villa, Coventry, reports of even the big boys like United, Liverpool, even some offers from abroad. Apparently before the 1990 World Cup there was again reports of like Juventus and Genoa and people coming in for him, so all those were turned down. Now I know it's a bit of a funny one, you say has he got a lack of ambition there?
See, I'm not a big fan. I mean, if you like that sort of thing, and obviously if you're a Wolves fan, this is sacrilege for me to even say this, but I think you do have a duty to play at the highest level you can. However, I do understand it, and it does make him an absolute legend for doing it. But I mean, you'd have to be a big man to turn down Juventus.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's a big decision to make, isn't it? And that's why he's so popular, isn't it?
I understand the point you're making, Luke, totally, but I mean, I just think it is great sometimes, like with Riquelme going back to Boca.
Yeah.
The clubs that they really, really love.
Well, the only man doing that now really is people like Ryan Giggs and Paul Scholes, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, but they are playing at the top.
Oh, of course, yeah. So it's like,
I do have a lot of time for Steve Ball doing that.
Yeah, because it's his hometown club and he loves them so dearly. He didn't want to achieve that with anyone else, did he? He really wanted to get them up in the top flight.
And it was such a shame. They came very close to reaching the Premier League in 95 and 97, but unfortunately lost in the playoffs both of those times. But
so it wasn't to be.
It did seem for a long time that Wolves were just never going to get up, didn't it? Yeah. They seemed to just miss out. So
did he ever play in the Premier League then, Marcus?
Well, it was apparently he played very, very, very briefly, coming on as a substitute for West Brom in 1986. But
it wasn't the Premier League, was it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, okay,
it was the old Division 1. So not really.
Players say it all the time, don't they? Oh, I'm not leaving because I want to win things, but I want to win things here, and it just doesn't mean anything, does it? And they inevitably end up moving.
Yeah, I think maybe things were a bit different back then, though.
Yeah, they probably were. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't such a gulf in the top flight.
And the money as well, for example. Yeah. I mean, the money he would have been offered at a big club would have been much more, but it wouldn't have been at the scale that he'd be offered now, you know. So. Yeah.
So he finished with Wolves in 1999 and then played a handful of games for Hereford United after that. But he received an MBE for his services to Association Football in December 99, which was not long before he retired as a player a couple of years later. But he was capped 13 times by England. He was actually, he had a few caps for the under-21s, 5 appearances and 3 goals for them. But he was capped 13 times by the full side, and he scored 4 goals in the build-up to Italia 90. He scored 2 goals in a friendly against Czechoslovakia, and one of which was voted number 37 in England's 50 greatest goals.
Oh, not bad, is it? Can't take that away from him.
No, absolutely.
You'd be
not.
Mad to try.
I don't even know how you go about it.
But he played 4 times during Italia 90.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember him coming on as a sub against Belgium. Actually,
he was really popular amongst the fans as well, wasn't he?
He started against Egypt.
He was hardly ever going to start because.
Well, he started Egypt. England needed a result.
That's true. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
Just a remarkable player. I mean, like we said before, playing in Division 3 and then getting selected for England.
Yeah.
And then in the World Cup, he's not playing in the top flight, and there he is, in amongst Gary Lineker, Peter Beardsley,
Gary Platt, Gascoigne.
Incredible.
It's a brilliant achievement. And it's one thing that's... I mean, because the golf in the standard has probably got a little bit bigger now, it would never happen. League One now, it would never happen. I mean, we joke about Sol Campbell, but I mean, it would never happen.
I think he's one of the best players, English players, never to have played in the Premiership of recent years.
Oh, undoubtedly. Is there anyone to even rival him, really?
Yeah. Well, it's, in terms of English players.
Friday, maybe?
Pete Donaldson? I don't know. But now he does, he's got his own website, Steve Bull Events.
Yeah.
All sorts of things going on there. But I would like to end with a quote from Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer said, "Steve Bull has been a tremendous servant to Wolves, showing a kind of loyalty that is increasingly rare in today's game. He's an honourable person who, on many occasions during the last 10 years, could have left for a Premiership club in search of honours and an extended England career. But instead, he has opted to prove himself at Molineux and give all his all to helping the club he loves to return to the top flight. Unfortunately, he didn't achieve that, but what he has achieved is a place in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame."
Decent consolation. Yeah, Bully.
It's interesting to think that it all started with him replacing Garth Crooks. You think Garth Crooks gave him a really elongated sort of pep talk?
Let me get on. Let me get on.
There's only a couple of minutes left now.
We need a winner.
Oh, well done, Bully.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. We have our website up. It's thefootballramble.com. Facebook and Twitter and all the rest of it. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See ya.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
We're all off for an unsanctioned visit to Oktoberfest. Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.